And one of the most important things that could happen, the second key, is community. We're in this together. How many of you understand that we're in this together? The fellowship of believers really is the way that God expresses His answer to the world. Now, I know this is going to be hard to handle, but God is willing to dwell in us. How many of y'all understand that? God will get in us. And when He gets in us and we come together, there is the movement and the vision of God. Does that make sense? Go with me to the second chapter of Acts and I want to give you a review. We got to be together. As we move into the next dimension, as we move into year 2010, I can't believe it's 2010. Can you all? Because you know what I know? If it's 2010 now, shortly it'll be 2020. And I remember somewhere in one of my life forecasting, in 2020, I realized that I would at least have some sort of maturity by 2020. More than I thought. And it's gotten here quicker than I thought it was going to get here. And God has not left one day undone. Will you all write that down? God has not left one day undone. Isn't that neat? All y'all were supposed to be here today. I want to thank you for being here today. I know you could have been, you know, like a lot of Bowling Greenians and say that we were in a snowstorm with a half an inch of snow on the ground. But I'm glad you weathered such a blizzard that we had here. And you're here. For you northerners that laugh at us because of our snow, once again, I want to remind you, we do not take it off our roads. So it's a little different than being in Michigan where you all have, you know, electric heated roads where instantly on your roads, the snow goes away. So, and we don't drive in this much. And if you've driven through Bowling Green, we do not drive well when the conditions are good. So anything that hinders that becomes a massive, crisis. First thing I want you to know is this. We got to be devoted to what God is doing. Devoted to what God is doing as a church. And I want you to get this today. One of the most important things that we can do as we move into this building, as we prepare for the next generation being exposed to the grace of God, is we have to be together as a church. And one of the things that excites me, if I was a kid in this church, and I went to what we used to call this big church when I was a kid. How many of y'all ever did that? When they got you out of the nursery, you went to big church. Well, here's what really messed with me when I went to big church. Big church was nothing like little church. Little church was pretty cool, man. We played with Play-Doh and drank Kool-Aid and had fake Oreos. I don't know why the church couldn't afford real Oreo cookies, but we always got the knockoffs. And we never did get like Kool-Aid, but we got some brand that wasn't Kool-Aid. Maybe, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention had worked a deal with this on bulk. But I remember that in my childhood, Jesus red Kool-Aid and fake chocolate Oreo cookies were a part of the spiritual experience. But I know we had fun. We sang songs. We raised our hands. We clapped our hands. We wiggled a little bit. We had a good time. We heard Bible stories that made sense. And then I went to big church. And when I went to big church, all I heard as a child was one giant shh. It seemed like part of worship was shh. Especially to me. They would start the opening prayer after that. So when I was 9 or 10 years old, I thought I followed a God that said, when really I followed a God that said, you're invited to participate in grace with me. I am your grace. I am your life, says Jesus. I am your calling. And God brings us to what? Together. Now, if you look at Acts, there's something that's got to happen before we can get together. We can't be together unless Jesus totally forgives us. That makes sense? If you really look at human groups, no human group stays together for a long time just being human. Have you noticed that? Because eventually it'll fade. Whether it's a team or whether it's a concept or, you know, we got a lot of groups. Watch this. Political parties, they don't stay together all the time. Why? That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't disappoint me. Why? They don't have any salvation. How many of y'all realize you can be a Democrat or a Republican or an independent and you still won't understand salvation? Y'all please need not hard on that, okay? Yeah, I get that, Rev. Okay? These are things that we create. Now, here's what God has created. I want you to know today, we've already had a great day. God's going to do something great in here in just a minute. How many of y'all realize that when people come to the grace of God, now they have the ability to get along with what God has created? Now watch this. You know why I love you all tremendously? Because God has saved me. You know why you all love people? Because God is what? Saved. You know, let's really think. Wouldn't it be easy right now as the church just to say, hey, we got enough people. We have a pretty good time. Things are running pretty good. Let's just hold it here till we all die. That'd be easier. And guess what? People would like us a lot better in the community. We just do churchy little stuff, and we just have our little churchy club, and we do churchy language, and, you know, we all make sure we're polite, nice to the world. And guess what? They would like us better. But that's not what God called the church to be. God said, I brought you together to simply show the world who and what I am. Y'all realize that by us being together, people begin to understand what God will do. So I want to awaken you to the first thing is you're important and God wants you to be a part of His grace. Before there can be unity of people, there's got to be the grace of God. Peter has preached Jesus crucified and resurrected. The response from the people was this question. It amazes me. When Peter preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he didn't have to give an invitation. He gave the truth of God, and the people asked, what must we do? Peter didn't tell them what to do. They asked, what must we do? How many of you all are at a spot in your life where you're willing to ask the question, God, what must I do to be connected to you? Any of y'all ever had that? Any of y'all ever had that thought? I wonder how I get connected to Jesus. Well, here's what you must do. Here's the answer that Jesus gave who? He gave the beginning followers. It's the fresh word. He said, you got to repent and be what? Baptized. Now, about 3,000 people that day repented and were baptized. And then they formed something called Christian community. We call that the what? Church. So here's what the church is. The church is a group of people who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe that Jesus Christ died so humans could be what? Forgiven. And they live together to celebrate grace. How many of y'all realize that your life is a celebration of God's grace? Have you ever looked at it like that? My life, your life, is a celebration of God's grace. I got to preach just a little bit here. Is that okay? That you and I were created by God, redeemed by God, and have been established by God to be an illustration and a celebration of God's grace. Live like that! Live like, wait a minute, God, I am, go ahead and praise Him for that. That does need to be praised. You and I are a celebration of that. See, watch this. When we come to church, we're not just coming to a group. This ain't like an Ohio State football game where there is no hope. This is a place of great hope. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Now, some of y'all excited, and I want to get with you excitement. I did watch the second half of the UK basketball game. And I want you to know, look, I noticed that when UK went bad, a lot of you faithful became unfaithful. I didn't see you wearing your blue. But I noticed I looked across men's ministry and everybody had their UK hat back on. Why? Because Gillespie is gone. And winning is back in that tradition. And everybody had their hat on. Everybody's wearing their Wildcat stuff with pride. Well, let me ask you a question. When we come into this house of worship, has there been a day God's ever lost? Mm-mm. Well, why wouldn't we celebrate that grace in being a part of that grace together in a community? That's the celebration of the community. After 3,000 were baptized, y'all understand that repentance and baptism is important. Now, unfortunately, I don't get this. This church has been influenced by the Southern Baptists, a Baptist tradition. And one of the things that Baptists have done is downplayed baptism. You say, well, why is baptism important? Well, you know what? If you're going to be a part of something, you ought to step up to what it means to be in that something. How many of y'all found that? Because guess what? I want to give you a word. I want you to be a part of this church. But to be a part, you got to step in and become a part. Does that make sense? You got to become a part. Now, there's some expressions of grace that you and I need to get a hold of. Some celebrations that cause community. Y'all with me on this? How many of y'all glad to be here? Yeah. Hey, I remember when you get together in one place, it's dangerous. Amen? You are a celebration and an expression of God's grace doing great things in you. We've already had people come to the Lord this morning. I don't want to take too long because you know what? I just got a sense that God's going to bring people into heaven today. And I want to make sure we got enough time for God to do His thing. Because guess what? He's going to do it anyway. Amen? And so I want to give you some principles that happened. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I want to encourage you to do something. If you want to understand what it means to be a part of, you got to learn what God has said. Okay, two things here. You need to be exposed to what the Scripture says. Now, I want to give you a heads up. In today's times, you got to know what the Bible says. Or you're going to be led astray. Because the world's not going to tell you what the Bible says. It is amazing to me how many non-credible things gain credibility in this moment of time. A lot of y'all, if you see it on the internet, you automatically what? Believe it. Well, how do you know it's true? Where's the credible source? How many of y'all believe that what Jesus said is true? Now, see, here's where it gets credibility. Our lives ought to be shaped by grace. So if you're going to receive Jesus in your life, here's what you need to know. All your sin is forgiven. That's a fact. So if all your sin is forgiven, you can't be running around living in shame. I mean, that would be contrary to what's happened in you. Make sense? So we ought to be a community that doesn't shame people, but celebrates people getting better. That's called grace. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many of y'all get better because you come and worship God? Anybody here getting better? How many of y'all have come to this conclusion? I cannot get better by myself. And it's not just community. Is it, Pastor Tim? It's not just community. Because here's the problem. I've hung out with some buddies of mine, and we had good community, but I never found salvation. I found a great time. But it led to things. I just got to be honest. Some of my buddies, not because of them. How many of y'all ever had those friends? You were a pretty good person, and all of you were pretty good separated. But when you got together, things just happened. Did any of y'all have those friends? Like, I got some buddies, we're pretty good, and their wives, to this day, will not let us all gather together. The last time we all gathered together was at our 20-year reunion. I can't believe that happened, but I've had one of those, a 20-year reunion. And we gathered together, and we actually now have titles before our names. We graduated over at Warren Central, and I want you to know that we had a delightful experience. We had a lot of community during our high school years. And our transcript shows that we were more invested in fellowship than we were in academic pilgrimage. But somewhere down the line, these guys called. I mean, some of them, it'd be scary. Some of my friends are actually medical doctors. Now, I wouldn't go to them, but since you don't know them, you'd go to them anyway, okay? How many of y'all that scares you? I mean, like sometimes my buddy will walk in, I'm realizing, this is my buddy. It's fixing to give me some pills that I'm going to put in my body. I knew him in the 12th grade. But you know what? It's scary for people to come to Hillview. Some people knew me, and I wasn't voted most likely to preach. Okay? So I understand. God changes us to have community. Just hanging around with each other doesn't make us different. It makes us like each other. What makes spiritual community different is this. God's grace dwells in us. And God's grace is released out of us, and it gets on somebody else. Just do that gently to somebody's shoulder right there. Come on, just try it, and it gets on somebody else. Say, look, come on, y'all participate. Some of y'all been in Baptist church a long time. I can tell y'all scared to move during worship, scared you're going to go Pentecostal. Look, you can do this, Dan. God's grace It's in me, it's in you, and it touches, and then it gets on little man, all right? And what we want to happen, guess what? Stand up for a minute, little man. You're not shy. Stand up. Look here. See, I want this little man to grow up looking at big men who are under the influence of God's grace. Now you're getting the vision of this church. Make sense? All you young couples, you know that y'all might be having thoughts and dreams and desires. You know, about y'all's age, you think, should I get married? Now, this is a frightening thing to any male. Because you've seen people that are married. And sometimes men look bad in marriage. Have y'all noticed that? Sometimes you see men that were full of life, and after they get married, they're walking like this. They walk like this. The more they live with her, the more they walk, because they've been ducking for 30 or 40 years. Been ducking, Sheriff, I'm telling you. They've been ducking because she's been peck, peck, pecking, and been ducking. See, I don't want little man to have an idea. I don't want our young couple. I want them to see grace-filled marriages. You see, this is what it means to be in community. I want us to live. Listen, all y'all that are married, I'm going to tell y'all, I pray every day that your marriage be hot. That's the spiritual word. Hot. I want you to be like Harold Carey and Judy. Harold, he married way above himself. Now, hold on, isn't that right, Harold? You testify to that. Amen. I did too. In fact, I had some guys, they were in law enforcement here, and they came into my office a few years. This is way back, about 15 years ago. They walked in my office, and they said, Rev, we want you to talk to us about dating. I said, boys, I tell you what, if y'all going down the hallway now, there's some pastors that are a lot better than that than I am. And I said, no, I'm just not really good at that. I can cause a lot of problems in that area, and I want to get you to the best. They said, uh-uh. We've seen Elizabeth. And any man as ugly as you, if you could marry a woman like that, we won't know what the secret is. I said, let me tell you what. God's grace in living in what? God's grace. Now, there's some things we've got to do in God's grace. All right? We've got to be devoted to the apostles' teachings. We got to break bread together. Does that make sense? I want you to hear this spiritual community. We break bread together. Okay? We're involved in fellowship to the breaking of bread and prayer. We're going to have, we have what we call communion or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist. We do it once a month in worship. We break that bread. We drink that cup to remind us of what? This is about being forgiven, and it's about living a full and abundant life. It is about that. And we got to be reminded, because how many of y'all forget sometimes who's got your life? It's real easy to do. I don't know about y'all, but Monday morning on Scottsville Road, it's hard to remember that Jesus died on the cross. Somebody pull out in front of you. A lot of times it's people from Allen County. They can't help it. And they pull out on Scotts Road over in Allen County. They don't have a main highway. They got better highways than they used to. But they'll pull out in front of you and they'll go 50 miles an hour. Now see, I don't want to be forgiving, but I'm a part of the grace community. And I need to celebrate that they're getting there safely. Mitch Walker, you know what I mean? But I don't. Because let me tell you, the hardest thing about community, it's hard to not think about you. How many of y'all think more of yourself than you do others? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. We already know you do. I mean, really, come on, let's get honest. I don't know about you, but I think more about my problems than I do yours. That's honest. How many of y'all do that way? I live with Elizabeth. She lives with me. We get up together every morning. And every morning I'm thankful that she stayed another day. And, you know, you got to be thankful for things. But you know what? Most of the time I'm more concerned about how I feel that morning than how she feels that morning. Y'all the same way. Because I share it with her. You know, as soon as I get up, man, I tell you what, it's cold outside. Like she can change it. You see, to have community is to celebrate grace with each other. It's to learn God's teachings together. Let's look and see what else we got to be a part of. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Now, let me tell you what. When you're filled with grace, you're filled with God's miracles. We don't have to go chase down a miracle. We just need to release the miracles we are already becoming. There's some miracles in this room. How many of y'all realize there's some miracles in this room? And how many of y'all realize there's going to be more miracles? Now, we don't have to go chasing miracles. I tell you personally, I'm a little nervous. You know, when I see a book in the Christian market over there or whatever that place is, and they sell these books, you know, 5 easy steps, Lindsay, for God's miracles. I don't pick up that book because I know that book's a lie. Because God's not about miracles. God's about grace. And what happens when you get filled with God's grace, it's a whole lot easier to see God's miracles. Amen? How many of y'all live in a miracle marriage? If you're still together, I call that a miracle marriage. How many of y'all, your children, how many of y'all view your children as miracles? I look at my children. I took one to a smart school. Now, you talking about God trumping DNA. See, I want you to know. In fact, here's how bad it was. I knew the smart school director. He went to high school with me, and he saw me leaned up against the wall, and he asked me if I was lost. If I'd gotten in the wrong building on campus, I said, no, I'm supposed to be here. I said, it's Elizabeth's fault, her and God. But you know what? God went beyond what we could do. How many of y'all realize God goes beyond what you can do? That's the kind of community we got to have here, and I want to give you some implications of that. I want every child in this congregation to be better than they think they are. I want us to look at every adolescent and see through God's eyes how much greater they can be than what they even think they can be. This building is not about housing kids. It's about releasing kids to live a full and abundant life. Does that make sense? And you're going to see little 3-year-olds that walk in there, okay? Little bowl haircuts. Y'all know every 3-year-old male's got a Tupperware haircut. And but you know what? And then they come out and their hair's going to be spiked up and twisted around and a lot of product in it. Or, you know, they may have beards, mustaches, you know. The little girls, you send them in there with cute dresses and they come out of there at 18 with still cute dresses, but they look a lot different. You know what I mean? Things change in that building over there. Amen. A lot of things change. But you know what? From the time they're 3 to the time they're 18, I hope they learn the possibilities of grace. I hope they're dedicated to God's teachings. I hope they have teachers that are so filled with grace, those kids are going to be in wonder and awe about what God might do with their life. I hope when they're 18 years old, they step out of there and they look a lot like Esther and they look a lot like Daniel. You know, Esther, she had it all together. She's a beautiful woman. She had charm. She had poise. She had awe. And she used that for the glory of God. Daniel, smart as a whip, very, very intuitive, and he committed himself to God, and they changed nations, and they changed directions of things. That's what we're committed to here in the church. So if you're a parent, we want better than we can see for your children. Does that make sense? Better than we can even see. I want what God wants for your kid, amen? And I can't totally see that, but that's what I want God to do, amen? I want you to see the dream. I want our kids to come out of here and I want them to get married one day and I want them to know that that's going to be a permanent marriage because they will be equipped, they will be prepared, they will be prayed up, they will understand God's teachings so that when they unite with a man or a woman and they unite in that union, they're going to have a strong family that can make a difference and begin to turn the attitude of a nation. That's the way it's done. You got to go up the way God said it. How many of y'all willing to make an investment in that? Now, you got to make an investment in that because guess what? They had all things in common. You and I have all things in common. Watch this. We're forgiven by the same Jesus. We're united by the same Spirit. And we're getting the same job done. We're really all together. Now, if you're going to hang out here at Hillview, we will always be together on this. We believe the cross and the resurrection changes everything in life. You'll never talk us out of that. You'll never argue us out of that. Now, on what I call preference beliefs, we got a lot of different preference beliefs here. Here, I'll say what a preference belief is. We have some people say, well, I don't believe God wants me to wear short pants. Well, God may not want you to wear short pants. You may have ugly legs, and we don't want you to wear short pants either. And God may have spoken to you and said, don't wear short pants, and we're in total agreement with God. But God gave some people some good-looking legs. And he may have told them, wear short pants. We don't get hung up on preferential belief. Does that make sense? We want to stay in belief. And you know what we found? God will lead us the rest of the way. And He'll put us in fellowship. Now, let me ask you a question before we close. Are we as tight as we can be in this church yet? What do you think? Come on, talk back to me. I got to know over here. What about it? Balcony, are we as close as we can be yet? Y'all going to speak up a little bit. I'm getting old, and you got to be in the spirit to just hear the volume you used. Okay, what about it? Are we as close as we could be in the life of this church? How many of y'all would agree? No! So part of our challenge this year is to activate these things. Be in the teachings more. Get the Bible study. Be filled with awe. Expect God to do something great in here. Make sense? Expect God to do something great in your life. You know what? All the believers had everything together and they shared what they had. Selling their possessions and good, they gave to anyone who's had need. Now here's what I want you to know. There is a difference in being a believer and a non-believer. Here at Hillview, here's what I believe. Those of you that participate in the Big Five, those of you that are invested in this congregation, you shall never go hungry and you shall always have a place to lay your head. You're part of the community of believers. Now, people that aren't a part of the community of believers, they need to get their God to take care of them. That's right. God does help us. This is the problem. The reason we got all these gods floating around America, nobody ever tests the gods. So if you get a tree hugger, they believe in hugging trees, and that's their God, then that tree ought to pay for their rent. I told a tree hugger that one day. He said, well, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I just believe that, you know, God's in all nature. And I said, well, go ask that tree to pay your rent then. Why are you in here asking a follower of Jesus Christ to take care of your needs if you don't want to participate in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? It's interesting. More people would come to Christ if we'd help them realize their God doesn't work. Isn't that biblical? Isn't that what Elijah did? He said, I tell you what, go line the prophets of Baal up. Let them dance around the arena there. They had the Super Bowl of God. You remember that? And Elijah even said, no, dance a little longer. And there was no fire. And then what Elijah do, you remember? He said, pour water on my altar because the God I speak to can deliver. I want you to know, guys, part of being together as a community and being in fellowship is believing the God that we follow can deliver. How many of y'all believe that? I do. I believe He can deliver. I'm not just carrying on when y'all get sick and come to the hospital. You know, usually when you call me, it's what? It's bad. Most time when I come in, we got something serious. I hadn't prayed over too many hung toenails. You know, we usually got cancer involved. We got life-threatening terminal diseases. Well, you know what? I pray that God will heal you. And people ask me sometimes, well, what if they die? I said, they're a believer. They live. We got to live in that confidence. I had somebody ask me the other day, they said, Pastor Steve, are you worried about the end of the time? I said, no, I'm saved. But apparently you're worried about the end of time. Let's make sure you understand salvation. How many of y'all glad to know if God blew the trumpet today, you're okay? Now, watch this, though. I want you to take that. I'm glad you're okay. Praise be to God. God has saved you. But what about your neighbor? What about your mama? What about your daddy? What about your brother? What about your cousin? What about your nephew that you really like? What about your neighbor down the road? What about the person you work out at the gym with? What about the person you just see every now and then? Do they know the reality of God? Don't you want them to be a part of heaven with you? You see, part of following Jesus is wanting somebody else to have what Jesus has given you. It's a natural outflow. And you know what, Hillview? You really do. You've stepped up. But guess what? I'm not even going to ask you to step up anymore. I think we've stepped up as far as we're supposed to step up, Tyler. I think we're supposed to step in from here on out. Tyler's looking at me like, where are you going, Riff? No, we got to go into the world with this great message of grace. Look at here. You ready? Because here's what happens. Here's the way we do it. We make sure everybody's taken care of. Every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Hang out. See each other. When you see each other every day, pray for one another. Love one another. Be reminded. College students, you know what? I don't just pray for you all on finals week. I pray for you on Thursday night. That's when I got out of line at Western. I didn't have any problem with class. Thursday night. Any of y'all go to Western? Jesus is around on Thursday night. He's just hard to hear, Don. And sometimes we respond slowly to what God's calling us to what? To be. That's true. It's real. You ready? Check this out. Check this out now. You ready? And then God calls us to do this. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. One of the greatest things you can do is be a celebrative Christian. Can I tell y'all something? I know it's popular to just always have a problem, but how many of you realize it's okay to celebrate God's doing something great in your life? It's okay. I mean, I want to give some of you permission. It's okay to go ahead and be glad and sincere. I'm glad God's doing great things. I know it isn't cool. I know you're not going to get a lot of people to talk to you. You know, if you walk up to them and say, man, how you doing? I'm telling you what, the Lord's really blessing me. And man, my life feels good at the moment. And I celebrate this day. People are going to go, well, that's nice. Because people lean into negative. Have you noticed that? If somebody will share you some juicy, negative gossip that day, there's some people that are just like, it's like drugs. They're just like, my hit of negativity. You know why people are into that? Trying to save yourself. You hoping that your life will be better than somebody else's, so at least you can tell God you wasn't as bad as so-and-so. Well, when you understand the gospel, you can be glad and sincere, because guess what you understand? Jeremy, you understand this. Everybody messed up, and God is giving grace to anybody. Everybody's messed up, and God will give grace to anybody, no matter what the cause. That's why we can eat together with glad and what? Sincere hearts. Like, I'm glad you're here. How many of y'all are glad to be here today? I hope y'all, please don't tell. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I hope you don't do this. How many of y'all ever say this? We got to go to church. I hope you don't ever do that, because guess what? I don't ever wake up on Sunday morning and go, I got to go preach. Now, I used to. It was awful. I served a church where Elizabeth had to get me up on Sunday morning. Do y'all find a problem with that? I get to come preach to Hillview Heights Church. I get to see you all on Sunday morning. I get the privilege of being involved with a group of believers that get it. We ought to celebrate that. But now for us to go on, we got to give that to other folk. Be glad and be sincere. Let me tell you, if you do these things, there are basically five things that we got to be involved in. Worship God out of gratitude and grace. In fact, I'm going to challenge y'all to this. You need to worship in such a way that people will know God can forgive them. We need to go ahead and release the worship God wants us to have in this church, okay? Just go ahead and let it go. And say, Pastor Steve, I might raise my hand. You'll be all right. Pastor Steve, I might fold my arms. Be all right. Pastor Steve, I might put a big smile on my face. That'll be all right. But encourage each other. Make sense? Can you imagine if worship... I want you to worship God in such a way that somebody else might catch him from your worship. Make sense? In other words, worshiping God in such a way that you go, man, I want God to do that in my life. All right? And here's what happened. People were sincere. They were for real. That's what that word means. They were for real about who Jesus was in their life. And they ate together, and they were glad, and they were happy, and they praised God, and they enjoyed each other. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. Now, here at Hillview, I want you to understand something. If you're going to hang out at Hillview, weird people come to Hillview. Look around. How many of y'all understand weird people come to Hillview? Why would I say it like that, Richard? Because we're all what? We're all weird. I'm a little weird. How many of y'all are a little weird? So you got, yeah, good. Hey, some of you've owned it. Give yourselves a hand. And you never could own it. I'd say that before you go, I'll tell you what, I ain't coming back. He done ticked me off. Done called me weird. Sheriff, you're a little weird. You're pretty happy for a guy that deals with criminals all the time. You know what I mean? What causes that? You see beyond where they are. We got a sheriff. I'm propping him up here because I'm going to tell you, this is for real. Sheriff Peanut Gaines sees people beyond where they are. I ain't saying he's perfect. I'm telling you, he's got that gift. Now, who gave him that gift? God. God gave him that. That's a powerful gift. He sees hope in what looks hopeless. Who else does that? God. Now, here's what I want you to know. We got to have each other because there's going to be moments we get knocked for a loop. How many of you have ever been knocked for a loop? Yeah, just not. Whoa. We have those moments throughout the year. That's why we got to have each other to come together. We got to worship together. We got to learn together. That's being involved in God's teachings. We got to enjoy each other together. We're uniquely different, but we're together. We got to pray constantly. You got to pray. And when you feel like you're prayed out, pray some more. And then you know what we do? We got to serve God. Each one of you got a gift that's got to be used in this congregation. We do those things, and guess what God will do? God added to their number daily those being what? Saved. Listen to that scripture. Very being. There was this activity of salvation that constantly was flowing on a daily basis. Make sense? And we're a part of that, if you will, conduit. The community of Christ releases the grace of Christ so that the world might know that Jesus will change them. And you're a part of that. So I want you to know, man, the more that you become a part, the more that you'll feel a part of. Does that make sense? So thank you for being here today. You've been a part of worship. Now we're going to have an altar. So now you get to engage and become a part of the... Come on, follow me. If you really want to know what the altar does, then you got to step in there and become a what? Am I going to have to preach this sermon all over again? I might do it, Mr. Whitman. I'm that crazy. No, you got to step into the altar. Some of you wonder, how come God won't move in my life? Well, let me ask you a question. How many times has God moved you to the altar to come and pray, and you've stood there and said, nah, I can't go do that. I might be embarrassed. Now, here's what I want all you adult males to know that stand here at altar after altar after altar going, well, I'm too old to be saved. Not at Hillview. Roger, I baptized a 93-year-old man here at Hillview. 93. Now, that's cutting it a little close, folks. Okay, that's cutting it in a little close, all right? All right? If you're in your 60s, 70s, and you haven't made that relationship with Jesus Christ yet, I want you to know, I believe you're living in a double portion of grace. You're still here, so you can be connected. So let's get that wrapped up. I want you to know at Hillview that we see all ages baptized here. Okay? We see all types of people baptized here. If we just went on hair alone, we got people with long hair that have been baptized here, short hair, spiked up hair, no hair, half hair. We've had them all. And God has loved them all. Make sense? And so today, if you know, guess what? This morning, we've already had several people come to receive God. The message is this direct today. You need to ask Jesus to come into your life. You got to decide, do I believe that God is real and that Jesus is real and that Jesus died so that I could be forgiven? You say, well, how do I connect to that? Repent and be what? Baptized. So here's the repentance part. Dear God, I'm sorry. I have sinned. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and what? Forgive me. Gene, will that work?
Yes, sir.
You've been a part of that now. You got baptized a couple years ago. Now, Gene's a man's man. I mean, he can take one of them hammer things up at the Highland Games and whack you upside the head with it. Okay, he's a serious man. Did that baptism hurt you in any way?
Not a bit.
I mean, did you come up out of the water and feel any less manly than you did when you went under?
More manly.
More manly. I know that's probably not appropriate English, but I like that confession. I was more of a man when I met Jesus. Now, women, when you get baptized as a woman, what will you come out of that water feeling? Brandy, what will happen? Yeah, were you less of a woman or more of a woman? I'm more of a woman now than I've ever been because of the grace of who? God. This is workable stuff. Does this make sense? And Gary, even when the world, man, boom, goes 180 of what you want it to, can you still go on? Your testimony that it still goes on. And you can live, even though it hurts. This is real. Here's all I want to tell you, Hillview. If this thing isn't real, it ain't worth sitting here. If it's not real, it's not worth sitting here. I believe it to be real. I get questioned all the time, how do you know Jesus Christ is real? I said, come to Hillview. Meet the people whose lives have been changed there and explain that to me through psychology. I said, come to Hillview and meet the people that have been healed here and tell me how a doctor did that. Nathan Bolton one night, you all have seen Nathan, he rolls around here. One night we were at the medical center and they thought it was the end, and the doctor came out and he looked at me and he said, Dr. Ayers, you need to understand. We're at the end here. I said, Doctor, with all due respect, I understand where you're coming from. I do have, although I don't use it much, I have a logical, reasonable, pragmatic mind. And I do have one of those. And I understand that. And I'm going to ask you a question with my pragmatic mind. Can you go read that boy's medical file over there and give me a medical reason of why he's still living? And he looked at me and he said, that's why you the preacher. I said, that's right. We're going to pray that he heals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, here's the good news. God sees you as you could be. And so every time I give this invitation, I'm asking you to come and join with what God sees. So some of you tonight and today and in the morning and the next morning and the next night, you may see yourself as left out and without hope. But God sees you full of His grace, His love, and His opportunities. Why wouldn't you join that and live in that and be an expression and celebration of that? Amen. All right, let's stand together. We got an opportunity. It's an opportunity for a new life, isn't it, Eric? It's an opportunity. So pray with me right now. Simple prayer. You can come and believe today. I want you to come and pray today. If you brought a friend with you today, I think this is a very friendly thing to do. You're my friend. Bob, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I remember you asking that. And guess what you said? No, but I want to learn. And have you learned?
A lot.
And Bob got saved. As a friend, I would ask my friend, are they connected to Jesus yet? And if they tell you they're a Baptist, share Jesus with them. Or if they tell you they've been to the Church of Christ Church, share Jesus with them. Or if they tell you, no, I'm just Catholic, bring them to a relationship with who?
Jesus.
There we go. Well, let's pray. Lord, there are going to be some people joining you right now because you brought them here today on a cold Sunday to let them know how much you loved them. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, whoever it is, and as all of these beautiful people receive you today, Lord, confirm your love for them. Just tell Jesus, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I've not been what I'm supposed to be. But Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you've risen from a grave. And Jesus, I'm asking you right now to enter into my life, forgiving me of my sin and bringing me in to the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, today, if you've prayed that prayer and you know Jesus coming into your life, you know what? I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I'm going to ask you to be baptized if you haven't been baptized. Because Jesus said, repent and be baptized. Not that the baptism saves you, but the baptism confirms that God has saved you. It does do that. And so let Jesus speak to you. Now listen to me. If you've been baptized, if your parents baptized you as a baby, guess what your parents were saying? I love this child God's given me so much, that I want to make sure that they meet Jesus. But I do personally think it's important as an adult when you can decide that you confirm that baptism. It's never hurt anybody. So you know what you need to do. Amen. This altar's open. People are already coming because God's already moving. Now here's what I want you to know. We got all the time in the world for people to be saved. And the next service will stop after God finishes healing and doing what He needs to do in this service. That's when it'll stop. This is Hillview. We are more about you coming to know Jesus than anything else. So come on right now. People are being saved right now. They're being saved right now. So let God speak in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.